It happened on April 6th, 1966. That's right, the 50-year anniversary is here of the Westall UFO case in Australia. What happened in the skies over Melbourne? Absolutely one of the most fascinating cases ever. You can read about it right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, William Henry is with us. All of your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is William Henry. Fascinating conversation. Let's go right back to the phones. I promise I will get everybody. Let's go to Delilah in Idaho. Delilah, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm really enjoying the show quite a bit. Although I have a little bit of, some information. I listened to a dark journalist interview last night with a woman named Alana Freeland.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of her?
No, but what's your question, Delilah?
Well, it's more of a comment, I could go straight to a question in that, do you really think we are ready to do this? Like, don't you think it's like a kind of a cheat and a shortcut when we can't even take care of the planet we have?
That's a great question.
For ourselves.
Absolutely, Delilah. Thank you for that. William, that's actually pretty to the point, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it depends on which perspective you're looking at it from. The transhumanist perspective, that is the perspective of the technologists who believe that we can solve human problems by meshing our flesh with technology and by becoming synced up with the computers, they believe that this is actually the way to solve these seemingly insurmountable problems that we have created for ourselves. That we have reached a point where, hey, it's not about just doing this because we can. It's about using these new technologies because we must. And that, in fact, they are fulfilling the ultimate mandate that we all have to love ourselves, to take care of our bodies, and to take care of our planet. They believe that they can cut loose these nanobots that will clean up the atmosphere and clean up the planet. The other side of this is that, no, we've got to remain completely organic, that we have the ability to dispense with this technology, and that is the better path for humanity. It's not a Luddite philosophy, in other words, where you just turn away from the technology because you don't believe in it, but it's rather a belief in the possibilities of the human spirit, of the human imagination. We've gotten ourselves into this position here, and we can find the way together in order to work our way out of it. So that's where we're at, and it's up to us as individuals to decide if we feel like the technology route is the better one, or if we want to stay organic.
It's funny because the whole Luddite side of things, and I've often thought, you know, maybe I just need to head to the mountains in an RV and just walk away from this. And I'm cool with that, except I need to take my internet and my cell phone and my computer with me. And it doesn't work that way these days. Let's go to Bill. Bill is on Wild Card. He's truck driving somewhere through Ohio. Bill, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hey, Jimmy. Hey, William. Hey, I have a question. Actually, a question and two comments. And however you choose to respond will help refine my perspective on this. I tend to think that alien or extraterrestrial intervention began around 500 million years ago, around the Cambrian radiation, because that would explain the Cambrian radiation, and also it kind of makes more sense, because I think about 5,000 years ago, maybe 5 to 7,000, is when the Homo sapien brain achieved the capacity to start, you know, kind of recording these things, and that could explain why, you know, this extraterrestrial intelligence is using its technology to stay concealed now. And also, I am wondering about social media because social media, you know, you were living vicariously through it. And also, it's artificial. It's like an artificial reality. And it kind of makes, I don't want to be too cynical, but I tend to agree with you because it seems like a system of forced servitude. Because that would be the perfect system where the servant doesn't realize they're serving or actually feels privileged to serve. And then my question is do you have any opinion about this Library of Souls project? Do you think if our consciousness is cloned and put digitally into this computer system, I mean, how will we ever be able to, you know, quote unquote, shut ourselves off?
Bill, I gotta tell you, that's evidence right there that our truck drivers in the United States are some of the smartest people on planet Earth. That's I'm gonna say that right
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, where to begin? It is the servitude question. Yeah, we willingly hand over all our personal details, and you know that the NSA is listening, recording absolutely every keystroke, every phone call, everything. And no, to answer Bill's question, no, we probably won't be able to shut this off. Once you're in that artificial reality, you're in that simulated reality, you would continue to exist forever and potentially evolve as that type of a being. And what is ultimately lost in this whole conversation is, well, what is the definition of the soul? What is the definition of being human? Who am I? Am I just the collection of all the photographs that I put up on Facebook and all my keystrokes? Or is there something more within me that is seeking this expression and ultimately is seeking ascension? That's what I believe, that we all have this divine spark within us that manifests our human body as a vehicle for expression on earth, to work out karma, and ultimately as a way to act as messengers of love from our Creator, and that one day we will be called home, and this is what we refer to as the ascension. But all the mystical teachings tell us that we have the ability to consciously ascend, and that's the path that I work on spiritually, and ultimately what I see is a reflection of what's happening in Silicon Valley, is that they are creating a next level of human and aiming for a collective ascension of the human species, where ultimately we just dispense with the human body altogether and live forever as avatar or light beings in their simulated realities.
Well, and it would certainly fix any issues with interstellar travel if we were going to do it in a mechanical sense, a ship. Right? That eliminates
our human body.
Yeah, it eliminates all the problems.
Despite what you see on Star Trek and a lot of these shows, the human body is not designed to live in space. It can't live in space. And so we're going to go into space in a different form. And it more than likely will be in a robotic form.
Yeah, it'll be on a USB drive, very simply. Let's go to Robert. Robert is, and he's been hanging for a while here. He's actually driving somewhere through Mississippi. Robert, welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to make a quick observation and then a question at the end. I'll try to be quick. I'm a Gen Xer. I'm almost 40, and I have been around since the invention of the cell phone and then the modern internet. And what I have observed since I was a child is the interaction of humans has gone downhill. Now it's more impersonal, short. We live in a society now where everything is almost on demand and people expect it to be on demand. And dealing with literally hundreds of people in a day in one form or the other, it gets very, very frustrating. My question is, where is this going to lead? I mean, is it going to come back around where people maybe one day will wake up and realize how unattached they are to the reality that we live in? Or is it just going to get worse? I mean, because I have to be honest, there's some days where I just don't want to get out of my truck or get out of my house because people are you know, very difficult to deal with in some aspects because of this detachment from, you know, the personal interactions. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's really non-existent anymore.
Well, aren't there days, Robert, where you can't wait to get out of your truck to go hang out with somebody?
Yeah, but it's when I get home. It's never when I'm out on the road. And usually a turn for me is 4 to 7 days, you know, more 7 than 4. And I'm here to tell you, when you've been out here for 3, 4, 5 days and you have to deal with the people that you have to deal with in this industry or in the truck stops or whatever the case may be, all I want to do is go home and shut the doors and draw the blinds and just say, hey, I don't want to deal with the world for another 48 hours at least.
Well, at least you have William and I to help you in your education.
Yes, and that's the reason why I called is hopefully you guys can teach me how to cope more better than I'm doing right now, because I feel like I'm failing and I'm trying to do the best I can to be human.
William, over to you. Thank you for the call, Robert.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. And just by expressing that, it's showing that you are more human than certainly a lot of people. And I would encourage you to find what you're passionate about and just follow that passion, follow your bliss, as they say. And I agree with you. We've heard for the past decade about rainbow children, crystal children, new children coming along and so forth. And, you know, there was just a study shown the other day that by 2 years old, most kids can work a cell phone these days. They can swipe. They can do all these things that were brand new to us just less than a generation ago. And they could be really susceptible to living in an environment that is inconceivable to us, where their reliance on the technology and the implantation of the technology is normal for them. And this is why we are effectively the last humans. I mean, futurists have been talking for the past decade or so that we're the last generation to die. With the anti-aging drugs that are out there now, the new studies, the new technologies coming online, living to be 200, 300, 400, 500 years old is conceivably a no-brainer. So we have stepped across a threshold here and entered into a new world that many of us find totally unexpected and at the same time totally unacceptable. And it's up to us then to step up and take the leadership role, because there is no leadership on this from a government or a spiritual level. Our spiritual leaders and politicians are clueless about this. This is nowhere near in any conversations that I see in the public domain, either in politics or spirituality. It's growing in some cases. But this is the conversation that we need to be having on a mass scale right now and making decisions about who's driving this bus, the technologists or the people.
The first person to live to 200 is alive right now on planet Earth.
Absolutely.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, when you have the population explosion that we're anticipating as well, another few billion of us will be on the planet in my lifetime. And at the same time, you will have a new version of humans walking around who don't have their cell phone held by their hand, but they have their cell phone in their hand. They've got the implants in their retina. They've got all this other technology that makes them different from you and I. And we're all going to be in this together. And again, my mission is to try to raise awareness here, to point out some of the issues as well as some of the opportunities, and to help people get on board with this and recognize the choices that we're making right now.
And all I wanted to do was, you know, stay at a Hilton hotel, you know, orbiting planet Earth. You know, that's all I wanted to do. We may not even make it to it. Let's go to Ron up in Fresno, California. Ron, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Mr. Jimmy Kirk. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Ron. Say hi to William Henry.
William Henry, how are you?
Very well, Ron.
Hey, I've got this. I'm sure this theory's been up before, but couldn't these extraterrestrials be us in the way, way future? And what happened is, right here, right now, in this third dimension here on Earth, is where the big decision is made with all this technology and stuff. What happens is we go with the technology, and we lose sight of God through all these years, different planets, you know. It's just like going, you know, traveling to different states. It'll be like traveling different planets, you know, to migrate. And that's them coming back in the future because they found a disc about the Bible and God, and technology's taken over. They forgot about God. They're coming back to find him right now.
Interesting. William.
Yeah, I love that take. I've heard aspects of that. I just happened to be watching a few minutes of the Terminator tonight.
Terminator? No, I'm talking about this is us in the future. We lost track of God because we chose technology over that. At this time right now, they have to come back to this time to do something about it. And some of them are against that because they're afraid of losing their reality in their world. It might all change. It might not be. So they're coming back to fight the others to stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, William.
And I think what it ultimately all comes back to, if a future civilization did do that, then they would realize there is something inviolate about the human body.
Well, they lost track of God is the main thing. They chose technology over God. That's the way we're progressing. That's why you're kind of contradicting yourself in everything you say. First, you're for technology, and then you're for God spiritually. This is where we lose track of God, right here on Earth in this dimension. They are coming back to seek him.
Yeah, it's. I'm
and
not.
Some of them are stopping, trying to stop the other ones from finding him.
This could well be the way we evolve, and I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm simply educating people. This is what is out there, and my viewpoint on this has changed certainly over the past 20 years, where I was definitely absolutely against it, but now I come around and see that there are certainly benefits to the technology, but only if individuals also elevate their capacity to love and they elevate their capacity to control matter with their mind. And to me, those are God-given abilities. And if I'm loving myself, loving my neighbor as myself, then I'm certainly following the commandments of God.
Well, and I've often said, William, and I said this right, I said it on New Year's Eve, and I was feeling all melancholy and, you know, got rid of 2015. We're looking at 2016, and not in a spiritual sense, just in it's what you should do sense, which is, you know, move forward one step at a time, just a little bit better, you know, a little bit nicer, a little bit tastier, a little bit better smelling, you know, just do everything just a little bit better. And if we all do that, just imagine how consciousness would shift on this planet overnight. If everybody just did just a little bit, like a half a percent, you know what I mean?
Totally. It's all about that incremental change. And actually I'm offering if you don't mind me plugging here, I'm doing an Ascension Intensive here in Nashville in May, which is about raising what I call our ascension intelligence, to live from the perspective of our divine light body, or you might call it our angelic self, which is what you're talking about, is that as we elevate our consciousness and begin to tap into our higher selves, I think what we're going to see is that people are going to, the need for the technology is going to fade, that we're going to recognize that we have these natural abilities within ourselves, tap into our ascension intelligence rather than machine artificial intelligence.
That's actually a great point. And look, we're going to head up towards a break here. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Our guest tonight is William Henry, and we have got, it is jammed up, but I will get all of your calls in, I promise, before the end of the show. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back. Yes, I do likes the rock and roll. You can check out my show, Fade to Black. All you have to do is just click right there at Coast to Coast AM, click on my name. Takes you right over to the Fade to Black website. We are live right before Coast every night. So that's it. You're done with my show. You come over and you listen to Coast to Coast. What better way to spend your evening? Our guest is William Henry. All of your calls are next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, William Henry. Let's go straight back to the phones. Benita, wild card in Louisiana. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you for taking my call, Jimmy. It's really, really cool to be able to talk to you guys. Mr. Henry, I've never heard you speak before, and I was compelled to call this phone number and stay online for so long, and it's so worth it. All of the callers this evening have been so succinct in their own special ways and so direct in dealing with the dilemma of this, really enjoining the transhumanist and the organic aspect of things. And it's too bad that in our new society, in order for someone to win, someone has to lose. Like earlier in the program, you were talking about Steve Jobs and the whole cult around Apple. And then, of course, Windows, those guys didn't fare so well. And it's an example of what I'm saying. Someone's got more mystique, or someone's a better club to be in. And meanwhile, other people, they don't band together like that. Someone's got to lose so someone can win. And listening to the truck drivers call in, it strengthens my heart, because I'm a human woman that lives on this planet of a certain age. And I don't have a computer, and I don't have the cable television. It's simply a matter of affording it. I just can't afford it. I live within my means. It's meager. But it's okay. All of this is okay. I rock the flip phone. And I'm not online or anything. I had a career. Early in my youth. Got out there and I was in rock and roll, but now I find that life is so much better. Everybody around me has all this technology, so if I need the technology, I can reach out and get it. The most important message is the one that you're espousing, Mr. Henry, which is if anyone believes in anything, so some people believe that this is their one shot, at life. And some people believe, like I do, in reincarnation. The thing is Silicon Valley is simply exploiting the fulfillment of the Christian prophecy. They have to have some kind of signal to piggyback on so they can sell this thing. But I'm very heartened with the people that have called in this evening. There's a lot of people in our country that are on medication. And there's a lot of people that really feel a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure to be part of this social media, whatever this thing is. And I feel for those people. I have a niece that is so caught up that she can't even look you in the eye and have a conversation with you. To be in her brain, it must be really, really hard to do. But my comment is this, and I will wrap it up. You got to be brave, and you've got to have courage in this world, of all worlds. Since the beginning of man, there has been the struggle between what is new and what is sure. Am I right?
Absolutely, Benita.
And the most important thing is, on a case-by-case basis, Mr. Henry struck on the very thing that we all, whatever our particular thing is, be it the digerati, be it the transhumanist, be it the organist, it's about one thing and one thing only, and that is to know thyself, because the chakra of truth, the truth, it needs to be wielded now with the authority that the truth used to have. In other words, the truth, not truthiness, not fudging, not just the post office box that Washington, D.C. has become, but the truth. And in your own everyday life, it starts with you. Our poor truck driver dude going, I want to be able to deal with these people better. The message is to him as well. Every day you owe it to get everybody on your page. you've got to command yourself. You've got to breathe. You have got to slow it down. Everyone's so fast, fast, fast. They want everything and they want it now. You've got to breathe. You've got to be mindful, and you got to be brave. I had a very smart mother, and I'll wrap this up. I had a very smart mother who came from the old country. You know, she was an old Irish lady that really, you never really knew what she was thinking. But one thing she always told me was, get your information from a lot of different places and then make up your own mind. And that information that you make up for your own self, well, you know, that really isn't for everybody. And it has served me well. It really, really has. I'm so inspired by your show this evening, Jimmy. And thank you, Mr. Henry, for just being so awesome and inciting us all out here just to think really, really hard about what we're going to do. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Benita. That's a great phone call, William. And I'm just going to say thank you for the show tonight. We're not done yet, but she's exactly right.
Yeah, I've taken that into my heart, and I deeply appreciate it, Benita, and everybody's comments, the truck drivers, everybody listening. I think we're all on the same page here and recognizing that we need a little bit of inspiration and motivation here, and it's going to have to come from us. And as she said, each choice that we make to kind of slow it down a little bit, I refer to it as tapping our ascension intelligence rather than relying on artificial intelligence. That if we begin to tap the energy of the heart, tap our life body, that we're going to rise and ascend as individuals and then ultimately collectively to where we'll outgrow the need for these training wheels, which is what I believe ultimately that the technology is. It's a support system. It's there for us to use if we need it, but ultimately we don't need it. We can get along just fine without it.
I promise to get everybody in. Let's get to Max in Segovia, Texas. Max, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey there. We are all on the same page tonight. This is Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Church.
Yep.
Yeah, I work at a truck stop, and so I know what all the truckers are going through. I'm working at a truck stop right now, as a matter of fact. Anyway, my question is coming right up. Mr. Henry, did I read your book, The Cloak of the Illuminati?
Yes, sir, you did.
I love that book, sir. And I was wondering about if love would still exist with the singularity. And I was wondering, could they be putting dust in chemtrails?
No, both good questions. Thank you, Max.
You're welcome, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, love is an aspect of the soul. And if the soul is replaced by machine parts, then it begs the question, will love continue to exist? I mean, the fear that most people have of the technology is that it, and we see it in our daily lives, is that it takes the emotion out of life. It takes the connection out of life. Love is connection with another human being, among other things. And if you've got a cell phone in your hand, you are disconnected from others rather than connected. And yes, absolutely, the smart dust that we are talking about could absolutely be delivered by the chemtrails, and wouldn't be surprised if they are. And hey, I just want to make a shout out to all the truckers out there. I live off I-440 in Nashville, so if you're passing through 40, I-40 in Nashville, give a honk to me sometime.
Right on. Let's go to Claudia, British Columbia, wildcard. Claudia, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Thanks, Jimmy. Hello, Henry. So, Henry, say I live long enough, hypothetically, to make it into this computer-generated virtual reality, and I'm an immortal in there. My question is, what about the people who did not live long enough to make it into that reality? What about the people that I have loved in my life, my mother, my father, my pets? Perhaps there's people out there they've lost children, they've lost all kinds of loved ones. What provision are you going to meet up with them in that reality? Because, you know, Henry, I decided a long time ago that whether there's something or whether there's nothing after I die, it really doesn't matter to me. The only thing that's important is that I go to the same place that the ones that I've loved and that have died. That's what I care about.
I agree with you, and gosh, you know, from the transhumanist perspective, they believe that they will have the ability to resurrect dead relatives from the past through photographs, through images, even through DNA, and be able to then give them a reanimated life in their simulated reality, their proposed simulated reality. This, of course, is an exact parallel to the Christian prophecy of the second coming, when Jesus returns at the second coming to take all the righteous ones into heaven and to give them new light bodies. So this is what we're dealing with here is heresy, it's blasphemy, it's all of that rolled up into one, but ultimately it's coming from the same source, whether transhumanists realize it or not, whether a person working at Apple or Google that's developing this technology recognizes it or not, the source idea, the original impetus for their desire to build this new reality and the next human,
well, William,
comes from,
I mean,
the Christian perspective.
Isn't that pure hubris, though, to think that you can find the DNA of people who have died? I mean, how many millions of people have died in wars and they're in mass graves? You're never going to get that DNA. What about if you're vaporized in a nuclear bomb or something like that? I mean,
this is pure hubris, and this was the primary charge that was waged against the Watcher angels, who you could make a case could be one of the sources for this technology originally. Who are we to play God? Well, we are playing God. Medical doctors every day, technologists every day are actively pursuing this. Some of the brightest minds on the planet are involved in this movement, if you will, of transhumanism at this very moment. Our tax dollars are supporting it through the U.S. government and DARPA. Our individual purchases at Best Buy and other consumer electronics outlets are also supporting it. And we're all, whether we realize it or not, participants in this movement. And now that we know what is happening, perhaps we can begin to shift and adjust this and say, wait a minute, this is not the reality that we choose for humanity. It might be good for some other race, maybe an extraterrestrial race, but for the human race, this is what we stand for, and we're gonna make limits. These technology companies are international conglomerates, but they are running roughshod over international law, be it from the UN or even U.S. law, and it's simply a human rights issue that we're ultimately dealing with here. And what we're asking for is a reclamation or an understanding that they are messing severely with the ideas of human dignity and what ultimately human integrity and what it means to be human altogether.
Thank you for the call, Claudia.
Thank you.
Have a great, safe evening. Let's go to Debbie, east of the Rockies in Toledo, Ohio. Debbie, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi. Great program. It's interesting, the callers in the past 45 minutes, we've all been on the same wavelength, and I don't use a computer. I have a flip-top cell phone that I have it for emergencies, and that's it. And I don't like to even be around electrical things. If you put me in a room with a bunch of computers, I would just go like ballistics. I do not believe that we as a human race at this point are ready emotionally or maturely enough to handle this type of technology. I mean, with the way that I have seen the changes in people in the past year and a half to 2 years has been just astronomical, and it's not been in a good way. It's been negative, evil behind it, and here we are we have no privacy. Everything that we do, we're being watched, we're being listened to. How do we protect ourselves against this? I mean, this is like we're up against an invisible thing here, and it's just, I am so upset about this whole way of how things are going in this generation that's coming up with being, you know, connected to all of this stuff and just all these iPads and things, you know, put in front of them to here, just, you know, play with this. And there's no interaction with the parents and the kids. And it's like, I worked with my kids, you know, on creative things. We went to parks. We looked at nature. And all three of my kids were in the gifted programs in school and everything. You know, they've all been but I worked with them hands-on, you know, and creative things and gardening, just, you know, the nature, the what this world is that we're supposed to be in and how it's supposed to be, not what people out there have got in their mind, what they think it should be, what they want it to be. You know, that was Satan's agenda, you know, and it still is. And I mean, three key words, you know, Apple with the computer and the internet, okay, the net, and the website, the web, right there, those three things, that's a key right there with, you know,
well,
tools.
Point taken, Debbie, and thank you for the call. William, you've touched a common core, just like she said. Everybody is very pat. Nobody has a question. Everybody has a statement tonight. You've really touched upon that.
Well, and I find that to be the case when I'm out lecturing. I lecture in Europe about this and in America, and hope to reach other parts of the world as well. And it's once we go through the cycle of the shock and the dismay, and we get to really think about this, and it's presented in the way that we've been discussing it tonight, it becomes obvious that we got a serious problem on our hands here. And it's up to us as responsible humans to, as I said a moment ago, to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough. We have to, if we're going to make an evolutionary leap, we have to have at least some vision of where this is going to go, and how ultimately it's going to, there are going to be safeguards. And this is the vacuum in our leadership right now as well. And it's going to have to come from us as individuals, because certainly the governments, the corporations, and the religious structures are if they're not asleep, they're complicit in this whole movement.
Now, I'm going to see you out here in Los Angeles in about three or four short weeks. I can't believe it's come up at the Conscious Life Expo. And what is it that your presentation is going to be on there? You're also going to be on a panel with me, the Ancient Aliens panel that I'm going to be hosting there, and I look forward to that.
Yeah, thank you for including me in that panel, Jimmy. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do that on Saturday during the day. After, we're going to do your show Friday night, and then Saturday morning we're going to have the Ancient Aliens panel, and then I'll also be doing my presentation, The Skingularity and the Ascension of the Cosmic Human, Divine Convergence or Alien Plot, where I'll be laying out much of what we've been discussing this evening, but also including the visuals as well as even more up-to-date information. I mean, every week I'm updating this presentation because there's some new striking or powerful announcement from the transhumanists about new technologies that are coming online. The core of that presentation, by the way, is available on my website, williamhenry.net. Look for the banner if the Skingularity is near. You can scroll down. I've got an hour and a half long video presentation that I gave back in November in Arkansas that lays this out and gives you an opportunity to share something with your friends and family that'll get people up to speed on at least what the issues are, what we're confronted with, what's going on, and also some suggestions for how we can handle this as individuals.
Thank you so much, William. And we're going to see you in just a few short weeks. It is William Henry. .net. William Henry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jimmy. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
That does it for this edition of Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I want to thank Nathan. Got to thank G, George, Tom, Lisa, Cindy, Stephanie, and everybody at Premier and iHeartRadio. It's been great. Everybody, go Backleaf Tappy. See ya.